We say happy Mother's Day to you mothers, grandmothers, and all of you who play that role and assume that role and have that role in your families. This is indeed a great day to honor a mother, but that should be every day. Normally, on Mother's Day, I try to do a lesson that revolves around something from a mother in the Scriptures. And normally, my tradition has been to do something more or less on the upbeat side of that situation. But recently, the last few weeks, as I've known this day was coming, my mind has been on a mother that you find in the Scriptures that's of a very different bent and of a very different situation than what we would call upbeat. In fact, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 21. Because today we're going to study about Rizpah. And we know her as Saul's concubine, but we also know her from this chapter as a mother. And while the first 9 verses of this chapter are somewhat perplexing to us from our Christian perspective, because we view it from a Christian perspective, and that makes it a little bit difficult. But we have to remember this is before the New Testament, this is before the Gospel. And while we'll not elaborate much on verses 1 through 9, that sets up the scenario where Rizpah's sons find their untimely and cruel deaths. And we see that while this is a scenario that perhaps would bring many questions to our mind, and this would be a lesson in and of itself, verses 1 through 9, and we simply do not have time to elaborate on that today. Sufficient to say, these are the circumstances where Rizpah's sons find that they are going to die, and that they do die. It would appear, basically, that they are innocent men. They are still men and sinners like all men. But that they are not guilty of the transgression that ultimately they were put to death about. We'll say just a little more about this in a moment. But viewing this from our Christian perspective, it does make it a little difficult. But we see how one man's sin, Saul, King Saul, we see how one man's sins can continue to bring sorrow and even death to his family, even many years after he himself is dead and buried. And that's much the scenario in a summation for the first 9 verses. But then we begin reading at verse 10. And as I've said, this mother, Rizpah, has been on my mind very much as of late, as I've thought about a lesson for today. And there's something that kind of has been in the back of my mind even much longer. I attended a funeral visitation some time back, many, many months ago, for a situation where the last child in a family had died, and the mother had outlived, the parents had outlived the children, all of their children. And it was obviously a very sad visitation. But I remember the mother being there, and I was nearly up in the line where I was about to speak to her. And she was talking to the people who were in line in front of me, and I did not know those individuals. And I remember she said, "I have no children anymore." And how deeply that cut in my heart. Feeling the pain that I could not completely imagine that she was going through. And then I began to think about how that situation speaks to many, many families. And it would be unfair to not talk about what some of you go through. And it would be unfair not to address the pain or the hurt that some of you have. So Rizpah, will serve as our Old Testament mother, that hopefully we may speak words of understanding and comfort. 2 Samuel 21, verse 10, after Rizpah's sons have died. Now Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the late rains poured on them from heaven. And she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them, the bodies of her sons, who were hanged and left hanging. She did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And David was told what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went, took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh-Gilead, who had stolen them from the street of Beth-shan, where the Philistines had hung them up after the Philistines had struck down Saul in Gilboa. So he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his sons, from there, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. These were seven descendants of Saul that had been hanged. Two of them, Rizpah's two sons. It was cruel. It was awful. It was painful. But he brought all of those bones together, and verse 14 tells us that they buried them in the family tomb. And so we see here a couple of things about Rizpah. This is the approach that I want us to take as we think about her and Mother's Day. First of all, there are three things that I want to say about this woman and what happened to her. And then there are about five or six things I want to say after that about mothers in a more broad sense that applies to all mothers. But especially we think of those who have had the sorrow, like Rizpah did. Number one, I want you to see that Rizpah was the victim of vengeance. You have the scenario in verses 1 through 9. I encourage you to read that if you're not familiar with it, about the Gibeonites who claim that Saul, and rightfully claim, I think, correctly claim, that Saul had tried to do awful and evil things to them and not honor a contract, a vow that the Israelites and the Gibeonites had together. And so they demanded vengeance, not really justice. They demanded vengeance. And you must remember in verses 1 to 9, this was not God's idea. This was the plans of the Gibeonites, and these were the plans of men. And Rizpah, unfortunately, fell victim to man's vengeance. Vengeance, which is really the prerogative of God, and I'm not going to say that God wasn't involved somehow in this, because it appears from the fact that there was a famine that occurred because of what Saul had done, and then the famine that stopped because of the price that was paid, that God somehow did play a role in this. But at the same time, the way this came about, and the killing of the seven descendants of Saul, two of which were Rizpah's sons, that was man's idea. And man did that. And they took vengeance out of God's hands, really. And revengeful men executed it, maybe in the name of God, but perhaps not properly. And so Rizpah finds herself the victim of vengeance, the victim of the hands of a cruel act of other people. Secondly, I want you to notice that Rizpah was a beautiful defender of the dead. She was a beautiful defender of the dead. Notice the text tells us that once these men were hanged, in verse 9, and they were left hanging there, verse 10, it says that she came and she spread sackcloth on the rock. Sackcloth was symbolic of mourning in the Old Testament, sadness and sorrow. But the indication is, perhaps from this text, is that that sackcloth could have been spread on that rock, not maybe so much like flat on the rock, but maybe more like we would think of a tent. Because she stayed there a long time. She stayed there perhaps, some have speculated, several months. But it was at least several weeks. And she defended the den. She had no power or ability to stop the gruesome murder of her two sons. But there was no power that could stop her from staying there with that 24-hour-a-day vigil to protect the bodies of her sons. And then there's a third thing about Rizpah that we see from this text, and I am indebted to some very insightful words that I read in the book that I have called All the Women of the Bible about Rizpah. Because the third thing that I want to say about her is that she foreshadowed Golgotha, where Jesus died. And I never thought about the similarity between Rizpah and the death of her sons and Calvary, Golgotha, and the death of Jesus. And yet in both situations you have innocent men who were put to death by the cruel hands of someone else. And while Rizpah's sons were still men, and obviously still were sinners and were not perfectly sinless, Jesus was. And you have in 2 Samuel 21 a mother who stood at the foot of the place where her son's body was hanging. And in the New Testament, you have Mary, a mother who stood at the foot of the cross where her son's body was hanging. And Rizpah foreshadows what would happen many centuries later when a mother would stand looking at her innocent son taken by the hands of a cruel man and have a heart that was filled with hurt and perplexity and all the grief that such a scenario could lay on a person's soul. And in that way, Rizpah and Mary are very much alike. Of all the heart-moving episodes in the Bible, few are more compelling or touching than Rizpah. And yes, indeed, as Donald Davidson once said, beauty is often found in the most unexpected places. And here, with Rizpah, we find beauty. Now, let's change gears slightly. And I want us to make about 5 or 6 observations. None of them we will elaborate on very long. But I want us to make about 5 or 6 observations on how Rizpah, while uniquely speaking to mothers who have had this tragedy and sorrow happen to them, in a broader sense, exemplifies all mothers. and exemplifies what all mothers love really is. I am hard pressed. It's not impossible. But I'm hard pressed to search through the Scriptures and read about all the mothers that are there and find a more noble example of a mother's love than I find with Rizpah. Number one, a mother's love is often tested and tried. Number one, a mother's love is much tested and tried. You don't have to go what Rizpah went through to know that. Because a mother's love can be tested and tried by the conduct of her children, by the conduct of others toward her children. Oh, you know, don't get between an angry mother and a child who's been wronged. You know, you just don't get there, you know, because you may not come out. She is tested and tried, a mother's love is tested and tried by the troubles of her children. You know, when a child hurts, a mother hurts. And I've discovered that that doesn't change chronologically. A mother may be 85 and a daughter may be 65. But when a daughter hurts or a son hurts, a mother hurts. And yes, a mother's love is tested and tried much by the death of a child. She often, like Rizpah, has no power or ability to stop the cause of her grief. To stop the cruel hands or circumstances that have brought about this kind of sorrow. So a mother's love is tested and tried. Number two, a mother's love is often tempered with much sorrow. Mother's love is often connected with much sorrow. Why? Because the deeper and more tender the love, the more poignant the grief. The deeper the love is, and a mom's love, the depth knows no bounds. The deeper that love, the harder the grief. The more poignant. But like Rizpah, who lost her children. Let me say on this second observation about how a mother's love is often connected so much with sorrow and sadness. In spite of all the sorrow, in spite of all the sorrow that may have happened, in spite of the loss you may have endured, you are still a mother. Rizpah lost her children, but Rizpah was still a mother. And here we are centuries later paying tribute to her as a mother. And for those losses that you have had, you are still a mother. And do not let the devil rob you of that very, very special blessing. God bless you. Number three, a mother's love is utterly unselfish. A mother's love is utterly unselfish. A mother never asks for anything in return. A mother does what she does without thinking, "What's in it for me?" This love will lavish the most on those sometimes from whom she cannot even expect a repayment. Rizpah, who went to stand vigil where her son's bodies were, obviously knew there was no recompense for what she was doing from her children. But that's because a mother's love is totally unselfish. Death might have bereaved her of them, but death would not bereave or separate her from them. You see, death would not, while death would separate her from them, death would not separate them from her love. Because a mother's love is utterly unselfish. Number four, a mother's love is self-denying. Mother's love is very, very self-denying. We understand that when we look at the story of Rizpah, how she was so very willing to deny herself and deny herself any pleasures or luxuries in life to help and bless and take care of her family even after they had passed. Mother's love is very much self-denying. And number four, a mother's love is persistent. A mother's love is persistent. Once again, you know, she stayed there. The text tells us from the beginning of the harvest to the late rains poured from heaven. And by day and night, she did not let any of the birds of the air or the beasts of the field harm the bodies that were there. And I'm assuming that she took it upon herself not only to honor the bodies of her own two sons, but the bodies of the other five descendants of Saul as well. Because a mother's love is persistent. You see, she stayed with it. A mother's love is lifelong. Even on the long, lonely nights and the dark, dreary days, a mother's love is persistent. She did not abandon them. She stayed. She stayed all the way to the very end. Number six, a mother's love is worthy of honor. A mother's love is worthy of honor. You see, when it was told in verse 11 to David what Rizpah was doing, David honored what she was doing. And he took the bones of Saul and his good friend Jonathan, and the bones of these seven who had been executed, and he brought them and buried them in the family tomb. And in that way, he paid honor. You see, a mother's love, particularly in this case of Rizpah, had a powerful and beneficial influence. The Bible tells us concerning Mary in Matthew chapter 26, she has done what she could, and in time to come, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial for her. And here we are, thinking about Rizpah, who had done what she could, and these many years later, talking about her as a memorial to her, because what she did is worthy of such honor. And David paid honor. Let me share with you just a paragraph that comes from a homiletic commentary on 2 Samuel. There was little in common between David and Saul's concubine. The king had scarcely before felt any interest, much less perhaps admiration for Rizpah. But being himself a noble man incapable of great self-devotion, this display of deep love and grief bridged over, for a time at least, the gulf that had divided them. Men are not unfrequently surprised to the discovery that some from whom in all other respects they are as widely separated as the North and South Pole are one with them in deep and noble emotion, which breaks down the wall raised by opposing interests and differing circumstances. The father who mourned for Absalom as David did could not fail to be touched by such sorrow as Rispa's. You see, a mother's love is worthy of honor. Now, let's think about three things as we kind of draw all this up. I know that this lesson is heavy. And I know it's not necessarily the easiest lesson that we have to study and read in Scripture. I have sought every year on Mother's Day to pay tribute and honor to the mothers that have the opportunity to be present. And to the best of my ability, I have tried to do that with each lesson, each year. But I realized, perhaps, I had overlooked some that needed that's a very special recognition and honor for your hurt. Because you are still a mother. And do not let the devil rob you of that blessing. But now three things as we kind of conclude. Number one, how poor the conduct of many children to their mothers in this world. For just a moment, how poor it is to realize the conduct of many children toward their mothers in this world. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 1 says, "A foolish, wicked son is the heaviness of his mother." So you have that. From Scripture, you have that to realize. Perhaps you have that even in your life. How, perhaps unkindly, unjustly, a mother has been treated. But now number two, how noble and strong should the love of children be for their mothers? And I know in the Christian home, while it's not perfect, and sin will weave its way in so sadly sometimes, in the Christian home, we often find it is the case that the children raised in that Christian home by a Christian mother find that kind of love to reciprocate to a mother. And how noble, how high the love of a Christian child ought to be for his Christian mother. Again, from the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 22, "Despise not thy mother when she is old. Remember all the sacrifice, remember all the beauty she has brought to your life, and honor and love your mother." But number three, finally, if human love is so deep and so strong, like Rispa's, if human love can be like Rispa and be so deep and boundless and unselfish and strong, if human love is the love of a mother for her children, can be so strong, so powerful, what then must really be the love of God? If we, as sinful, weak, frail, imperfect humans, can have that kind of love for our children, our parents, our fellow man, how great, how powerful, how wonderful must the love of God really be? And here's where we bring it all together. No matter what you have been through, no matter how hard it has been or still is, the love of God will sustain you. The love of God will keep you. The love of God will bless you. The love of God will help you. The love of God will even finish you. You see, like Rizpa, who stayed with her sons to the end and beyond, the love of God all the way to the end and beyond will bless you. This morning, if you are in this audience and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus, I want to encourage you, based on this great love of God, to turn from your sins and to obey the gospel ultimately by being baptized into Jesus, because Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." You may have come into this room outside of Christ. You may have come into this room and not have a relationship with your Savior. But you don't have to leave that way. We encourage you, obey the gospel. We encourage you, if you're unfaithful, to be restored and be where you belong. Be back where you belong and stay where you belong. Maybe you're just not sure what you want to do. We will pray for you. We will study with you. We will encourage you to the best of the ability that God has given us. Whatever your need may be, would you come this morning as we stand and we sing?